From the Lamb, who is reigning on his throne, even now, at the right hand of God, may his grace, his mercy, and his peace fill your hearts today by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Amen. I'd like to begin today by looking with you at Mark chapter 2. Story you're probably well familiar with, but I'd like to understand it better today. Mark chapter 2. And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door, and he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak thus? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned within themselves, said to them, Why do you question thus in your hearts? For which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk"? But that you may know, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home." And he arose and immediately took up his pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. What I'd like to talk with you about today is this question of the forgiveness of sins. Does the Son of Man indeed have authority on earth to forgive sins? And I'm sure as Christians you all say, yes, of course God and Jesus can forgive sins, but let me make it a little bit more straight to your heart right now. Can God forgive your sins? Yes, you may ask, can God even forgive my sins? Because I think what happens for us a lot of times as Christians is that although we know that the Lord forgives sins and we believe this, yet our sins seem to still haunt us through our lives. And we can feel ashamed of them. And remorse and depression can lead to a great lack of confidence in our lives, our Christian faith, and most pointedly, an absence of joy. For what's Paul say in Romans chapter 14? He says, "The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And God wants that to be the content of your life, to be experiencing these things. But what happens to us a lot of times as Christians is we think, can God even forgive my sins? Or even if he's forgiven me, how can I let them go and forgive myself? What ends up happening is that our sins end up paralyzing us, just like they paralyze this paralytic in the story. And we can go through our lives prostrate, unable to really move, paralyzed with fear, haunted by shame and all kinds of things over sins which God has forgiven. So I want to ask you today, and this question, does the Son of Man have authority on earth to forgive sins, and can he and does he forgive you yours? And what I'd love is by the end of this sermon that you can walk out of here at the end of this service, just like the paralytic walked out of that house, though he went in immobilized, he walked out glorifying God, having all his sins lifted from his shoulders. Do you think you can walk out free and clear today without one care and worry on your shoulders from having been forgiven by your God? Well, this is what we're talking about today. So, how do we deal with this? If you feel paralyzed, like a paralytic, on account of your sins that you've committed before the Holy God, the first thing I'd say to you is, good. Feeling paralyzed and ashamed and remorse over your sins is a good place to be, to start out. For let's take a look at what it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 11. The terror of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord utters his voice before his army, for his host is exceedingly great. He that executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. So rend your hearts and not your garments. This is the word of God. And so when you have a sin and you feel like you want to just tear your clothes off, and God says, well, if you're tearing open your heart over your sins and you feel that kind of remorse, good. You're in a good place to begin with. Because you know what? That's an uncommon experience in this old world. If you look at our modern culture, they have a very small and easy view of sin. They don't feel it very strong. I take, for example, this horrible incident. This just happened this last week or so with these teenage girls who beat up on their cheerleading friend. What a demonic, pathetic, evil thing is happening in our age. And what was their response of these girls? They videotaped it. They premeditated it. They orchestrated it. And afterwards, when they were arrested, they were laughing at it, treating sin very lightly. But I just looked at their pictures again when they were being arraigned on these charges, and they weren't laughing then. Well, I think our culture, though, treats sin so very lightly. We've become soft in a way. And I'm not going to give you a position on certainly torture or something like that, but just think of this. Even with terrorists who plan to kill thousands of people and basically wipe us all out, we want to be very nice and gentle and give them everything they need and be very kind to them. Well, our culture has become very light on sin, on consequences, and I think one of the reasons for this is the fault of the pulpiteers, the preachers in our day and age. For it is said of this in Jeremiah chapter 6, of the preachers in Jeremiah's day, for from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They've healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Have you found this? All kinds of sins going on in our world. All kinds of abominations that the Bible says are displeasing and abhorrent in the Lord's sight. And the priest, the prophet, and the preacher says, peace, peace, don't worry. God is tender and forgiving. Continue in your sin. You're fine. Is this the kind of Jesus that we have? Has he just become a therapist who sits there and listens to people's problems and not also the judge who gives the verdict? We need a little old-fashioned fear of the Lord, my friends. For Jesus said in Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And just the other day, I was at the tax collector's office registering our boat. Okay, I said something funny. I don't know what it is, but that's all right. But I heard this guy sitting there with his little ticket waiting to be called up, just spewing out blasphemies and swears and horrible things, just poison from his lips. Does he know that he will render account for every careless word he uttered? Well, if Jesus is true, then he will, unless he repents. And as it says in Hebrews 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So today, I tell you, if you are paralyzed by your fears, if you feel a dread over them, good, because at least your heart is alive. You're rending your heart and not your garments. And you're not like the rest of the world, who treats it so lightly, and their wound and their burn is so deep into their skin that they can't even feel the pain anymore. For when the preachers say peace and peace where there is no peace, Jesus says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. In Jeremiah 5, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their discretion. My people love to have it so, but what will you do when the end comes? People love it to have their ears tickled, to have a positive message always, just something to encourage them in their week. And indeed, I want to do that too, but not without also bringing you the fear of the Lord and the whole counsel of God. For, as it says in Isaiah 10, of Israel's sins, destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. Don't you find that an amazing comment? Destruction overflowing with righteousness. It's the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. And so what's the end of that matter is what Paul preaches, saying the times of ignorance God's overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he's fixed a day upon which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and by this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. And so, return to me with all your heart, says the good God, with weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. So my dear Christian friends, first thing I want to say to you today about your sins is this. If you're feeling paralyzed, like a paralytic, beaten down and wrapped up in fear and hindered and remorseful over your former sins and ashamed, that's a good place to start because you actually understand the justice of God. You actually have a fear of the Lord. You delight in his truth, and you know there's a day of judgment coming, and it puts you in terror. But that's a good thing, because what it does for you, what this feeling, these thoughts do, is they cleanse your heart and make room for the Savior and for the grace of God. And no heart's going to be ever ready for mercy until you feel the terror and the fear of sin. But then note what David says. When he prays and his heart is rent and shriveled up, he says to God, "Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And God answers, "This is the man to whom I'll look. The man who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." So, if you're paralyzed, good, but I don't want to leave you there today. That's not the end of the matter. For let's see that God, who is your friend, what is this covenant he would make known to you? Let's take a look again at Mark chapter 2. We continue on. Read the little part again. It says, "And they came, bringing to him, to Jesus, a paralytic, carried by four men. When they couldn't get near because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. They made an opening, let him down on his bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.'" Isn't that the most lovely word of all? Jesus has the power to forgive sins. What are our sins like when we're carrying them around? I think they're sort of like rocks. Now these rocks are kind of small. They're little. But if you can just imagine, our sins, of which these are representative, are supernatural rocks. They have a weight about them such that they will sink you in the sea if you try to swim with them. And when we have one sin, it enters in. Another sin, a lustful thought, a lie, some dishonesty, hatred, unforgiveness, and it doesn't take long before this thing is just unbearable for you. But what is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel said to Mary, to Joseph, "She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I want you to know today that what I'm speaking to you is the truth. We have a Savior who can relieve and lift off you the heavy weight of your sins. For this is what is written in Isaiah chapter 53 of our Lord. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Yet surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. With his stripes we are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In other words, your sins, which are bothering you, I take like this, a heavy weight of sins. Let's add all the sins of the world, all of your sins right now. Just picture them in your mind in a heavy, heavy bag of rocks weighing you down and would surely sink you on the sea. And what does it say here in Isaiah 53 and through the rest of the scriptures that God has done for you in Christ? God has himself taken them off of your shoulders. He himself has surely carried our sins and griefs. He has carried them over to the cross and there paid the penalty for all of your sins, such that he would carry them away. For John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as Peter said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And so thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. And so what then happens to your paralysis, your haunting, your shame of your sins? Well, I tell you, Jesus has lifted that off of your shoulders. He himself has carried your sins away. Why then do you, in such gall and arrogance, think that God's forgiven me my sins, but I know better, I'm not going to forgive myself for these things that God has forgotten? No, I'm not going to forget them. Do you know what that is? That's from the pit of hell. That's Satan himself reminding you of the things that God himself has promised to forget. For if you've believed in Christ and trusted in him, he has lifted these sins off of you. So don't you then go over in unbelief and despair and think you ought to walk over there like this and take them off of Christ on the cross and carry them again on your shoulders and weigh you down every day. Jesus has lifted them off of you so that you might know righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you living the rest of your life in shame. Do you think Paul lived that way? For it was truly said in Romans chapter 6, Paul said, "What return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed?" Paul, do you think he was ashamed over his life? A persecutor of the church? A murderer consenting to the death of Stephen, the first martyr, throwing Christians into prison, persecuting the church more violently than anyone before. Do you think he was remorseful over it? Sure, but he said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, "The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the foremost of sinners. I'm the chief. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." His perfect patience shown in Paul And if God can forgive someone who is a persecutor and a murderer, or someone like David, an adulterer and a murderer, who murdered Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, or if he can forgive Peter, who denied him 3 times at the time when Jesus most needed him. If he could forgive Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons were cast out. And if he can forgive all the sins of the whole world, then surely he can also be patient and forgiving with you. So what I'm saying to you today is don't stay in this paralysis. Don't let your sins seize you up with fear and bind you, because God has lifted them from your shoulders, and Paul didn't let them hold him down. He lived in righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Well, how about you say, I still wrestle with my sins, though. How about that? Well, God forgives former ones. How about today? Well, what did Paul say in Romans chapter 7? He says, I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even Paul, if you're wrestling with your sins, as Paul wrestled with his sins, good. Because at least you're wrestling with them. The unbelieving world happily submits to their sins. But because you wrestle, this is all the more evidence for you to rejoice. So what God would say to you is, looking at your former sins, let them be a source for you to think on my mercy and my grace in having removed them, rather than continually thinking about how bad they were. Yes, sure, they were bad. But if I have removed them, let those former sins now be energy and enthusiasm in you for exulting in the Lord, who has been so merciful, even though he's the righteous judge, as to remove those sins from you purely by grace. That's why he says in Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Free forgiveness. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will, what? He will abundantly pardon. And God tells you ahead of time, when you come to him, when you call on him, he says, I'm going to forgive you as you have trusted and believed in Christ. And this is a privilege not everybody has, because this comes to a person by faith. So believe these words today. Is God lying to you? Are you charging him with a devious, false and crooked word? For he has said to you, I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I'll not remember your sins. For the mountains may depart, and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. But your feelings, your emotions, stop living by them. You may feel, I just don't feel forgiven. Well, so what? Why don't you just start believing what the Lord says? In fact, that's why he says this. If you'll just allow me another minute or two here. Isaiah 55. After he talks about forgiving your sins, he says, For my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You may not feel like you should be forgiven. You may not believe you should be forgiven, but why don't you try trusting what the Lord says about you rather than thinking about your ways? For as the heavens are high above the earth, higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and don't return thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So, all right, yeah, with me? I don't feel worthy of forgiveness. Yeah, so what? God has said, my ways are higher. And I have promised you who believe in my Son, who've repented and trusted in him for forgiveness, your sins are forgiven. I've driven them away like mist before the rising morning sun and its strength. And so believe in me and rejoice with exultant joy. For the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And there is more joy in heaven before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So if the trees are clapping, the mountains are rejoicing, the angels are having a big party, God and Jesus are thrilled, why are you a party pooper and hanging out there outside your own party mumbling, worried about my old sins when God has said, I've forgiven you and I've driven them away like mist. And therefore, I conclude with this word. Jesus said to you, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet now and go home. And he rose immediately, took up his pallet, and went out before them all. And they were all amazed and glorified God. Have you let those sins go? Jesus has carried them for you to the cross. Let him forgive you. And when you walk out of here today, I want you to walk out today without one rock upon your shoulder, free and light and clear, because not of your righteousness, but because of God's, his faithfulness, his cross, his resurrection, his Son Jesus, who has power on earth, power and authority to forgive all your sins. Amen.